You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Some people do say that I have a touch too much, maybe come on a little bit too strong. But anyhow, you are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. As far as I can tell, it is the only Monday through Friday daily nationally syndicated radio show dedicated to the Second Amendment. Now, of course, we talk about all kinds of stuff, be it Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Fifth Amendment rights, states' Tenth Amendment rights, and how the government is getting bigger, badder, bolder, and just trying to hose us out of everything. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. All kinds of great stuff there. Archives are available on the RBN site. It's $1.33 a month. However, RBN is also standing up a second network, the Elected Radio Network, Elected Representatives Network, ERN. If anybody is interested in helping to get that off, that's all self-funded. You can donate a little bit more than the $1.33 a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever it may be. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. We also, if you'd like to spread the message, we have generic business cards for RBN. For 100 cards, they're $10. They're full color. They're on a nice glossy finish. They're very nice. I come from a printing background, and I can tell you these are nice cards. They're not junk. They're not some laser printer card that comes off. They're very nice things. If you order those, you can also get an RBN bumper sticker and a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which, if you have not seen, is an eye-opener. It is fantastic. So, to order all those things, you can call the regular business office, which is 800-724-2719, or you can mail in to Republic Broadcasting at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if at any time you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's how to get a hold of me right here live. So, with all of that being said, we do have a couple of show sponsors I would like to get to. First of all, you can go to BillCarnes.com. That is all about me. I am the host of the show. I was on the first series of History Channel's Top Shot, which is a shooting-based reality competition show of sorts. I was on season one with 15 other fantastic people. You can, also on there, I have my NFA tab. It says NFA Guns with a question mark. You can click on that. I put together Class 3 NFA Trusts. And that is if you'd like to own any sort of NFA items, the National Firearms Act, be it machine guns, submachine guns, suppressors, explosive devices, destructive devices, I think they're called, and then the AOW, any other weapons. You can own those personally, or you can form a corporation, or the most leeway and the quickest way of getting about it, and the least expensive, is by far, by going through with the NFA Trust. I set those up individually for everybody. Additionally, one of our sponsors is RoninTactical.com. Now, Ronin Tactical features high-end defensive tactics types firearms instructors. And what they do is they're also certified in many of the states to teach concealed weapons permits. So what happens is you get together a group, you get a hold of RoninTactical.com, R-O-N-I-N, they send out one of their certified instructors, and you sit down and you go through the concealed weapons permits, which will get you about 30-plus states between the concealed weapons permits that you'll get wherever you live. It doesn't matter. So they will send folks out to get you set up with that. So go to RoninTactical.com. You can also go to my website, BillCarnes.com, and the show website, 2aradio.com. I have all of my archives there and information about me on both sites. So there you go. Stay tuned, folks. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm happy to have you here. I have to tell you a little bit about my weekend. I spent the weekend with my kids and my former mother-in-law. I guess now she'd be my mother outlaw. And I ended up buying this gigantic pumpkin. I bought a pumpkin that weighed 110 pounds. Seems massive. I mean, massive pumpkin. And I took it down, and my little girl sat there. You know, you get the cool little cutouts that you can buy now. You know, it used to just be the triangular eyes, the upside down triangle nose, and you know, the jagged mouth with three or four teeth in it was how a jack-o'-lantern would look when you're done carving the pumpkin. But now you can actually buy these stencils and, you know, tape them onto the pumpkin and poke the little holes and make these really elaborate cutouts, which is very cool. So, of course, that's what my kids like to do because it looks cool. So each of my three younger daughters end up picking two patterns apiece. We ended up with six patterns on this pumpkin because it was so blooming huge. The seeds were about the size of a nickel. If you took a nickel and stretched it out, it would have been about the size of the seeds in this pumpkin. And the interior of this pumpkin, this massive, gigantic jack-o'-lantern, as it turned out to be, was actually incredibly healthy. Just wonderfully healthy. It would have made probably a dozen awesome pumpkin pies had we decided to use it for that. So we end up getting, and the thing is, we probably could have put between 8 and 10 faces on this pumpkin rather than six. But it was a lot of fun, spent all day doing it. And so my mother outlaw ends up showing me her sample ballot and then the form or the booklet that comes with it talking about all these different referendums. So I'm reading through the different referendums and explaining to her the different positions here and there. Okay, well, I think, you know, yes on that one. All right, so I'm marking your sample ballot, yes. Okay, well, I think no on that one. All right, so I mark her sample ballot, no. So we're just going through this discussion. We get into, obviously, some discussions about politics and government intrusion and things such as that. And one of my daughters asked me, she said, Daddy, can the government listen to your phone calls? And I said, absolutely. The government has the technology to listen to every phone call, every electronic means. Whether they do or not, we don't exactly know how many they actually listen to, whether they're listening to yours or not. But they have the means to do it, and oftentimes it's done without any legal justification. They're supposed to have some sort of a court order and blah, da, 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 da. Even with the Patriot Act involved, which is it's not the Patriot Act, it's the Pro-Government Powers Act. And so that's what I explained to her. And my mother outlaw says to me, you know, I don't care if they listen. They can listen to my phone calls all they want because I've got nothing to hide. So I feel better that they listen. I hope they do listen, because if they do listen, that makes me safer. So I looked at her and paused, and I said, he who gives up liberty in the name of security deserves neither liberty nor security. And she didn't quite follow along, not into the historical aspect of the phrase. So I went on to explain. When the government says, look, we want to be able to listen in on all of your phone calls and read your emails and things, just looking for specific words or phrases that are used to tie in to any potential terrorist-related discussions, that's what we want. So if we authorize them to then listen in or read emails or things such as that, they have the ability to do that. They have now implemented this technology. Later, all they have to do to listen to everything else is to pass new legislation or another executive order or whatever it might be, which neither takes very long. You end up with this new provision that says, okay, well, now we have this technology. Now we're going to start listening to even more stuff for whatever reason we come up with. And then we're going to listen to absolutely everything and monitor everything everybody says. It eventually gets to that. Once you give them the ability and you say, it's okay with me to give up some of my liberty so that I can have security at the hands of the government, as if the government's really ever helped out doing much of anything, we end up with, okay, now that they have the ability to do it, we're going to authorize them, or they're going to authorize themselves through all of these different future provisions to be able to eventually, what they'll be doing is monitoring absolutely everything, and we're no longer a free society. So you give them an inch, they take a mile. And to that, I then explained to my brother Outlaw, who was interested in hearing about this, I said, look at it like this. When the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913, it wasn't what the Federal Reserve schmoes who designed the system wanted. But they understood, look, as long as we can actually get this thing in, what we're going to end up doing is having them pass a whole bunch of different separate legislation so that we can actually get it where we want. So though the act was passed in 1913, they didn't start operating for two more years after several more acts were initiated. And then the Federal Reserve system was created and powerful enough for them to be able to do what they wanted to do. Same thing is happening with Obamacare right now. The initial Obamacare is not what they want. So what have they done so far just since last March or April, whenever it was they passed? I think it was late March when they passed Obamacare. What have they done since then? They've already passed provisions to make it stronger in the hands of the government. So the government has more power and authority. They keep enacting small provisions to make it more government controlled, which is exactly what happens. So those of you who believe that it's okay to give up some sort of freedom, some sort of liberty in the name of security, you seem to not understand that it's all about the governmental powers. When in the past have we ever given up any sense of liberty when we were told it's temporary? And it has ever actually been temporary. Everything has gone permanent. The Internal Revenue Service, for God's sake, the Internal Revenue Service was created by Abraham Lincoln as a temporary measure to pay off the war debts from the Civil War. Okay, the Civil War's been over a long time, guys. 150 years or so. We're moving on. And yet, we still have the IRS. You think the Civil War debts have been handled by now? I think they have. What does the Internal Revenue Service do now? Now, here's the thing. A lot of people complain about taxes. And then yet others will say, well, you know, if we didn't pay our taxes, we wouldn't have roads and schools and police and military and all the infrastructure of America. Okay, we're going to narrow this down just a little bit. We're going to talk for a moment about the Grace Commission, which is commissioned by then President Ronald Reagan. And the Grace Commission had a mission. The mission of the commission was, I, President Reagan, want to know where all of the money that the Internal Revenue Service collects in the form of income tax and corporate income tax and, you know, from all the different income taxes from business and individuals, I want to know where that money goes. Grace Commission did their investigation, and after however long it took, I forget now, all of that went back to President Reagan, and they said, we now know where everyone, dollar, every single dime that the IRS brings in, we now know where that goes. Okay, great. Show me the spreadsheet. Spreadsheet had one name on it. Every dime that the IRS collects goes to the Federal Reserve Bank for the purposes of paying down the interest on the national debt. So if we had no national debt, there'd be no need for the Internal Revenue Service. Really? Well, where do we get money for roads and bridges and other highway infrastructure? We get that through the roughly 50 cents per gallon of fuel tax that we spend. Where do schools and police and things like that come from? Those come from property taxes and local sales taxes. What about the Army, the military? Where do we pay for all of that? Where do we pay for all of the other government things? Those come from tariffs and import and export fees that have been in existence since this nation was founded. The country doesn't run at all on the income tax, which is taken from you and I. All of that money goes to the unconstitutional private company known as the Federal Reserve Bank, held mostly by European bankers. That's where all those trillions of dollars of your money and mine go. Imagine that. Stay tuned, guys. We're going to get into someone who writes why we need to repeal the Second Amendment and my response to that. Stay tuned after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back, everybody. We have Mike from Kentucky calling in online, too. Mike, you there?
Yeah, what I think a lot of people do is rationalize immediately when you tell them this stuff, even if you can show them a video or proof. They do not want to be inconvenienced with protecting their own privacy. And there's some simple things you can do with these cell phones. And by the way, based on my direct experience, this is already going on beyond what you're thinking, what you've been talking about. I think the phone company's going along with all this Homeland Security stuff because they can do market research by snooping in on all this these phones, and they can cherry-pick the data and do marketing and manipulation of whole groups of demographics.
Well, I believe you're absolutely right, Mike. As a matter of fact, we have the federal government right now arguing at the level of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals that they should be allowed to monitor and have record of everybody's cell phone, because essentially what they're saying is, their argument is that the cell phone companies own that technology, own the airwaves, own the service, and we are subscribers. Therefore, we have no right to privacy or no reasonable expectation of privacy, so that the government can consistently real-time monitor calls and history of who you're calling, who you're talking to, how long they last, and every number that comes in and out.
It's not just cell phones, though. My evidence shows that landlines have been doing this for an unknown period of time, and it may go back into the early 80s. In the movie Enemy of the State, the Gene Hackman character talks about monitoring phone calls, but they're talking about when you're on the phone talking.
Yes.
It's also depicted in the movie Clear and Present Danger, where the assassin for a Colombian drug cartel king calls up his girlfriend, who's a secretary for the president, and says, "The machine is on, Myra," and they use his voice print to scan all of the phones in South America and find the guy.
Well, yeah, and that's what they did with bin Laden directly after 9/11 when they're saying that they're looking for him. They're monitoring where his communication comes in off satellite phones. We know this technology exists. We know that the NSA is seven times that of the CIA, and we know that the NSA is the organization tasked with doing all of this internal monitoring and spying. A lot of people don't even know of the NSA, what their job is, or even quite how large they are. They are essentially our own little shadow government of sorts.
The Nunsuch agency. Well, then above that is the National Reconnaissance Office. They along with the National Security Council, may be suppressing a lot of technology that could be on the open market, but they want to maintain control of it.
Look, Mike, I got to tell you, I had a buddy of mine who worked for the government in a kind of a black world operation. And he told me one time, he said, we're hanging out, we're having a barbecue, and I asked him, I said, "So just answer me this. Are we really, like, do we the consumers end up with technology that's two or three generations old by the time you guys are actually working on new technology?" And he said, "Look, I can't comment on this type of stuff." He says, "But I'll tell you this." He says, "There are technologies that exist today that you will never, ever, ever know that we knew about today." He says, "They are so classified that I don't care how long things go. If the Freedom of Information Act exists in 1,000 years, you will never know that today, this year, we have, use, and exercise the technology that we've got that you might see in a few decades. It's up and running and working right now." Yeah. And he says, "I could tell you about this stuff. I could tell you all about it, and you would never believe me because you would think that there's no way that we could actually do that because you're missing two or three pieces of the puzzle of the technology that we don't even use anymore that you guys don't even know exists yet."
Well, stuff 2 years ago that I talked to and demonstrated to news producers about, and they said, "Well, we'll put it down as conspiracy theory." It's being reported on now in the news. I can't remember the call letters, but Channel 13, somewhere here in this country, I posted it on my Facebook wall. Is talking about the security measures that you can take to protect your privacy, like removing your battery off your cell phone. But they also mentioned, and that was my contention, is that the internal battery could be, you know, the software is the firmware in the phone can be modified by remote control. So the button cell in there could be powering the GPS and powering the microphone in a low power stealth mode to record the microphone.
Right, and the only way that we can defeat that is to unpower the phone, take the battery out.
Put it in a case that's lined with aluminum foil. My retired engineer dad and I played with his phone like that, and wrapping it in aluminum foil will muffle the signal enough to where they cannot hear you and they cannot call the phone. So if you these protective cases you can buy, just line it with aluminum foil and then call the thing and see if you can get signal. If you can't get signal, chances are they're not able to listen to you either much. It's going to be very muffled. But the GPS chip may still be receiving tracking points.
Now, I'll tell you this. I actually, and we're about to end this segment, but I'll tell you this. I actually have been in a couple of different meetings where we wanted to talk freely about whatever we wanted to, and we had everybody in there take their cell phones out, remove the battery, and leave them in pieces in front of them while we had the meeting.
Don't forget about the desk phones. You got to unplug the dang phone.
There were no desk phones.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Now, the desk phones can be hot, too, and I've heard that. I've heard the audio from them many times.
Mike, thanks for the call, man. We're going to continue on. Have a great day. Guys, stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back from the break. Guys, here's somebody that writes in. Of course, it's anonymous. It was a letter to the editor, and it says, we need to repeal the Second Amendment. Let's just get, this is in Virginia, by the way. It was a letter to the editor in some Augusta, Virginia, Augusta County newspaper. Let's just get right to the heart of the issue. All gun dealers in Virginia are crime, I'm sorry, yes, all gun dealers in Virginia are crime gun dealers. You get that? All gun dealers in Virginia are crime gun dealers, according to this person. Once a handgun or assault rifle is sold, there is no control as to where that gun ends up. When we reach the point where, when you go into a gun store in Augusta County, you see the clerk behind the counter walking around with an exposed handgun in a shoulder holster for protection from his customers, you know that, quote, we have met the enemy and he is us, end quote. Until we the people demand an end to the production, distribution, sale, and ownership of handguns and assault weapons and the repeal of the Second Amendment, we are going to continue to reap the whirlwind of gun violence. Of course, this went without a name. You know, in most responsible areas of the country, when you write a letter to the editor, you have to put your name and contact information, and they will contact you to ensure that you actually wrote the thing. If there's no name, no contact information, it doesn't get published. Evidently not so here. I would imagine that this is probably just amongst the agenda of the editorial staff of this particular paper that published this. But what a moron. What a complete moron. That's like a Chevy dealership. You go in to buy a Chevy, and the manager of the Chevy dealership, or the owner of the Chevy dealership, is driving a Ford. You don't do that. Or maybe he has a limousine pick him up. No. You display what it is that you sell. If you're in a gun store and the guy's carrying a gun, he should be. It's a gun store. However, I will have to side with you here. Something about carrying an exposed handgun in a shoulder holster. If the guy's carrying a shoulder holster, he's probably like that of about 95% or more of the people who work in gun stores and simply have no idea what the hell he's doing when it comes to any sort of defensive shooting. Because a shoulder holster lacks a tremendous ability to actually be able to properly present the gun rapidly and get first shots. You are in a world of hurt in a shoulder holster compared to several other options of carrying. So, just my provision on that. And then my answer to this guy. Let's talk about the right to bear arms. I believe it was Thomas Jefferson who said, those who hammer their guns into plows will plow for those who do not. Or John Adams who said, those who trade liberty for security will have neither. And we just spoke about that in the last segment. How about this? An unarmed man is a citizen. I'm sorry, an armed man is a citizen, an unarmed man is a subject. We see that on bumper stickers. I've said it many times, gun control isn't about guns, it's about control. An honest citizen doesn't shoot to kill, he shoots to stay alive and be free. How about this? When you remove the people's right to bear arms, you create slaves. Let's just take a little history lesson. From the 20th century, the most recent entire century that we have data from that ended just a little over 10 years ago. An estimated 100 million people in the last century from the year 1900 through the end of 1999. An estimated 100 million people were killed by their governments after they were disarmed. That is 1 million people per year on average, which is no small feat. To average 1 million people a year per every year for 100 years that were killed by their government after they were disarmed. That's an average of 2,740 people per day. On average, for an entire century, were killed by their governments after they were disarmed. And you, sir, are suggesting we become disarmed. Now, several of our founding fathers saw forth to make sure the Second Amendment was in there. George Mason, the co-author of our Second Amendment, said this. He says, I ask, sir, what is the militia? It is the whole people. To disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them. Now, I have a business card. On my business card, it has the first portion of the following phrase from George Washington. Firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and pistols are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere anywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good. What this writer does not seem to grasp is that when there are violent people out there, the gun is the great equalizer. And people believe that it takes a gun to respond with a gun. So if we get rid of all of the guns, then there'll be no gun violence. No, there'll be much, much more brutal violence. Because that means a 6 foot, 6 inch, 300 pound man with a 3 pound club, all he needs to do is start smacking on anybody who's half his size and weight, maybe 5 foot five, 140 pounds. If that other person has the same sort of a pipe or bat or bludgeoning instrument, they are now not going to be able to be equalized. It's the gun that is the great equalizer. You know, it's been said that God created man, Sam Colt made them equal with his repeating revolving device that shot. We now just know basically as a revolver. So those who believe that taking away all of the guns will do away with gun, it will. It'll do away with gun violence, but it won't do away with any other kind of violence. And how do you propose that we collect every single gun ever and prevent any other gun from ever being made or brought into this country? It is not possible. And you end up putting the smaller, older, younger, weaker in society as the prey to everyone else. The gun is society. The gun keeps the criminals at bay. Now, we have this situation where police in Metro DC are considering drastic measures after a failed terrorist plot. This just came out late last week. The day after federal investigators unveiled an unsuccessful terrorist plot against the DC Metro system, transit police are considering implementing one of the most controversial security measures available to them. Metro police now believe that they may have to resort to random bag searches after learning of the FBI's Wednesday arrest of Farik Ahmed, 34, of Ashburn, Virginia, for helping to plan an attack on the DC subway system. Okay. Well, I have to tell you, terrorists and terrorism will reign when they believe they don't have to deal or they can sidestep the set up securities. All they have to do is find vulnerabilities in the securities, exploit those vulnerabilities, and then they can get away with whatever they want. You want to know how to end that? I'll tell you right now. The plan according to Bill Carnes. And all I'm really doing is regurgitating something that was really popular in the last decade of the 1700s. In the 1780s, 1790s, this was very popular. Every able-bodied man. And now, we'll upgrade it to every able-bodied adult. if they were armed and trained in the defensive use of firearms, and they carried guns, everybody who is able-bodied and able-minded, I should say, there's a lot of crazies out there, able-bodied and able-minded, had guns, you would see an unbelievable drop in crime. The only sort of crime that you would see would be domestic-related, in my humble opinion. Either domestic or maybe something dealing with a work issue where somebody feels that they were wronged and fired and, you know, they snap. And even those would go down dramatically because everybody that they targeted in their area would have a gun. Terrorists would not be able to be terrorists because everybody on the streets would be the security. You'd be security for yourself. You'd be security for your family. You'd be security for your fellow countrymen. And if you see anybody committing or about to commit an act of terrorism or a violent crime that you can fear for death or serious bodily injury from yourself or someone else, you can then, through your training, pull out that firearm of yours, engage, and stop the criminal or terrorist act. If everyone stepped up to the plate in this manner, you wouldn't see crime the way that you see it now. And you wouldn't see crime the way that the government is seeing it start when it comes to terrorism and terrorist acts. We are finding exactly what we expected to find. And that is Muslim American citizens in the process of planning and attempting to carry out terrorist acts here on our own soil, as has been experienced in Israel for their basically entire existence. They have Muslims that come in from the Palestinian areas and create some sort of a terrorist act. You've seen a lot of it drop in the last few years because a lot more people in Israel are armed. Now, I'm not taking sides in this Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I'm letting you know how it's effectively worked in one country when others in this religious war of Muslim versus the infidel, how it's working in one small country. In this country, it should work the same. We have way too many bleeding heart leftists that just don't get it. I see so many campaign ads where they throw out one piece of information and expect you to abide by. I saw a commercial which is, again, it's one candidate who is, instead of touting their own ideals, a Democrat, slamming a Republican candidate. The Republican candidate's idea is, let's take Social Security and privatize it and put it into private different investments. Of course, the Democrat comes on with the commercial and has a commercial that says, the opponent would have all of Social Security privatized into Wall Street where all of them get rich on your retirement through their investments. Forget about that. Keep it with the government. The government's never made a dime with Social Security. There is no Social Security trust fund. So let's look at this deeper than just the surface argument. Provide the Social Security money to the investors who do make a small commission based on the performance of the Social Security investment. That invigorates them to make the smartest, highest paying dividend investments they possibly can so that they make the money. Those brokers and brokerage firms make as much money as they can with these investments. That's what commission's all about. And if that happens, you and I and everybody else in the Social Security system benefits. Otherwise, the government takes the money. They don't make a dime with it. They have huge expenditures that they take out. And we get less and less and less of what we actually put in rather than more and more and more. And the money ends up being in to the private sector, infusing into our gross domestic product, and we have billions of more dollars in the private sector, circulating and doing good things and growing our economy. And some Democrat running for office believes that the surface argument of, well, we shouldn't let these scumbags on Wall Street make any money off the investments, and people are lame enough to take that surface argument. Drives me nuts. Just the way they're lame enough to take these anti-gun arguments. It's a sad thing that the educational system has failed us to where we have very few critical thinkers any longer, especially young critical thinkers. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Hopefully they'll start turning into shows like this on networks like this, and we'll get more word out there. That's all I can really hope for. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on.
And we're back, everybody. We have Mark from Georgia on the line. Mark, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hello. Honestly, I'm not sure what to address. You mentioned something about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I guess, like I say, I appreciate that. Then you said we don't want to go taking sides because
Mark, hold on.
Palestinians have the same right, God-given right of self-defense.
Yeah, well, look, all it is, I don't know why I have an echo here. All it is it's an example of the Muslim terrorists taking on their version of infidel, whoever they don't like, and how they respond with a lot of armed people. And we have the same opportunity here. People will take their heads out of their backsides, and governments will remove restrictions of our Second Amendment rights.
I appreciate you're saying you don't want to take sides. Hamas has a few thousand, like 3,000 lightly armed troops, AK-47s, RPGs. They don't have tanks, helicopter gunships, and you can't say it's a terrorist attack when they set off a suicide bombing.
Mark, stop.
The Palestinian political leadership.
Mark, thanks for the call. I don't know what it is. I make it very clear that I'm not going to get into the discussion of the Israeli-Palestinian thing, and then I get a phone call trying to drag me into it. It was merely an example of when you get people who don't like, you know, an organized group of the Muslim religion, in this case, that doesn't like the nation of Israel. It could be the nation of Canada, for all I care. And it could be Buddhists who don't like Canada. It would still be a good example. When I say I'm not going to get into the Israeli-Palestinian discussion, guys, I mean it. I just won't take your calls. That is not what 2A Radio is about. I'm using it as an example. If you don't like the example, change the dial on the radio station, okay? Now, getting back into this, You know, actually, we're now a little bit short on time to be able to get into this last story I wanted to get into when it comes to Iowa. Iowa has not been an incredibly huge gun-friendly state, but they have some provisions that are coming in which are loosening up the gun restrictions. And, of course, what do we have? As we have in every other case around the country, when we end up with some sort of a sheriff or police chief, they believe that their whole area, the entire state, and the area that they patrol and they're in charge of is going to turn into some level of the OK Corral. Of course, we've seen historically that doesn't happen. Crime goes down when the percentage of armed gun owners goes up and restrictions on guns in the restriction on guns decrease, the ownership increases. We'll hit that story tomorrow, so stay tuned. We'll have that then. More great programming coming at you today.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will not.